In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." Somebody give me an understanding of what that's saying. Judge not, that ye might not be judged. Anyone else?
I would say it's sort of akin to the saying, "Do unto others as you have them do unto you," because the way you look at other people, you judge other people by the same thing someone else is looking at you the same way. You know, may not be exactly the same, but where you condemning and criticizing, that's to show someone is condemning and criticizing you also.
Exactly. Anyone else? "Judge not, that ye be not judged, for with the same judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with the same measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Mm-hmm. It's like when we judge, sometimes what we do, we judge without enough evidence, you know? And when we judge without enough evidence, that means we're judging incorrectly, right? And especially just like what we said earlier, when you truly condemn a person with the judgment, you said that person did do this or that person did do that, and you judge them like that. Be careful, because what's going to happen is God may ask us, "What was your evidence? Why did you judge that person like that? What was your evidence?" That's why the Bible teaches us that we have to, says no man, we have to look at both sides of the matter before we come to a conclusion. You know, no man look at one side of the, you know, one side of the matter and come to a conclusion. You must look at what both sides of the matter before you come to a conclusion. Because, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, judge kind of brings me to mind with in Matthew where Jesus says, "You hypocrite, first take the blank out of your own eye before you move." You know, and it goes in that line. You know, don't judge people on when you have enough to take care of your own self.
Exactly. All of this is building it up to what Jesus is actually wanting us to know.
Sometimes it seems like just telling a person something is wrong and judgment, it seems like it's a fine line to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that
people will put you and say, don't judge me.
But God gives us a spirit of discernment to know what he says is right and what he says is not right. So there's a difference, and that's the fine line.
Yes, yes. Of course, like I said, you know, we could be judging an innocent. We could say that an innocent man is guilty just because I don't like him. You know, I don't like him. Yeah, he did it. And if you ask me, yes, I'm going to, you know, you see. And then I'm led to believe that God will say, "Why did you judge that man without enough evidence?"
But there's a way we can tell people that they're doing something wrong without judging them.
Yes, ma'am. And that's when you come back to teaching. We have to teach.
I think Amy is right, because there is a difference between judging and correcting somebody in love. Of, you know, either what they're teaching or whatever. I think there's a big difference in that. And I think sometimes judging can also apply to people nitpicking somebody else.
Exactly.
You know, when okay, they are dressed like I don't know, hobos or whatever, and we judge them by that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's wrong.
Exactly. You know, it's a lot of hate going on now.
Yep.
Right? Now, for me to hate all Jews, that's wrong, because all Jews ain't bad. For me to hate all whites ain't bad. For me to hate all blacks are not bad. Are you with me? And it's a hate out there that's judging people because of who they are. Just like we got this thing going on with the Jews Palestine. There you go. Thank you. You know, sometimes this brain gets a little foggy. You know, give it, please. But anyway, it's a hate. Are you with me? It's not a hate just for one. It's a hate for them all. So you judging all by the one that you know, right? I work with this one. He ain't no good. So ain't none of them no good. Are you with me? And we got to be careful, because we are to judge. 1 Corinthians, I think 6 tells us we are judges. Are you with me? In other words, we are teachers. It's just like we were saying, right? Sometimes, you know, just like if you have a cousin or whoever, somebody close, and you say, that ain't right. And then the first thing they going to say, what? Don't judge things, right? It's not judging. It's warning you, right? And then if you don't want it, just step away. You ain't got to.
A lot of times people use the phrase, don't judge me.
Exactly.
Just to cover up their own sin. They don't want you to recognize and tell them that what you're doing is wrong and sinful in God's eyes.
Exactly.
And that's the standard we're supposed to use.
Like I said before, right? Many jobs I've worked on, and I would go on these jobs that we've worked, you know, get along with the fellas, right? But as soon as they find out that I'm a Christian, right? You know, break loose. As soon, you would think, right, that, once again, you would think that if they knew that I was a Christian, that would have been beneficial, good for them. But because I'm a Christian, I'm something like Jonah. You know, something ain't right. This man got to get off this ship.
And I know exactly what you're talking about, but I think the problem there is that by us being Christian and living our life as a mm-hmm. Christian in public, mm-hmm. they're more aware of their wrongs, so therefore they hate us.
Exactly. See, when I come on the scene, right, the smoking that funny thing, what they was doing, it becomes wrong now. Mm-hmm. You know? You know, why do you have to come and mess up a good thing, right? You know, the language that they use is mm-hmm. it become wrong now because I'm there. You know, but before we was all right without you being here, right? But what we are to teach, even though they say, you know, don't judge me, but after they say that, this is a good thing. After they say don't judge me, what do? Huh?
Judgmentally.
Hit the road. Hit the road?
Judgmentally.
Judgmentally. Okay, who else? Add to that. Because we're going to come to these things sooner or later, you know, in life. Sure.
I have spoken with my practice staff, but you can say, well, of course, it's a spiritual mind of Jesus, and that, you know, and we have recognized that, let them recognize. Give us a choice to do whatever, but you give us instructions also.
Amen.
I was going to say, when I've had occasions where people don't judge me, or they say, you know, and you want to be a Christian because they don't like what I'm saying, but my answer usually is, I've been where you are, and I've done what you've done, and I'm telling you there's a better life out there, you know.
Amen. And to add on, that's a lot of people who just don't believe in the Bible. You know, you could tell them, you know, listen, this is what the Bible says. You know, this is what you should do because of God and because, you know, what God has done. But some folks just don't believe at all. So what do you tell them? You know.
I think we stand firm on our truth. And like the Bible says, if they don't want to listen, pick up the dust off your shoes and go to the next person.
Amen. Don't waste your time trying to give somebody water who don't want no water. You know? Don't force feed nobody. You know, because they'll throw it up. You know, that they won't appreciate it. Bible teaches us to give not good things to dogs or to swine. You know? So forth and so on. But when we do judge, we must remember to judge fairly, because we have a fair judge to judge us. God is fair. He's fair and true. He judges us correctly. He don't. And this is what he's trying to tell us, right? If you're gonna represent me, represent a good judge. You know, represent a good judge. Because that's why I'm a good judge. Verse 3, and beholdest, what you were saying, beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but not considerest the beam in thine own eye. That's very important. You know, that's very important, you know, because we could do that and not even notice it, you know. We could do it, you know, by telling somebody they are wrong, you know, because we're Christians, you know. You ain't right. You ain't right. Well, I saw you at the club Thursday night. You ain't right either. You know, so we have to be very careful. We're not going to be perfect people, right? And we're not to wait until we get perfect to tell somebody the truth. But we ought to teach in a way that, listen, I've been there, and I've done that. You know? That's what, you know, when I get before you and I stand before you, I want you to know I've been there some places that I don't want to go no more. It ain't like I'm, you know, all there. I ain't all there now. But I've been some places that I don't want to go no more. I've heard some things I don't need to listen to no more. I've said some things that I don't need to say no more. I'm done. And if I slip and fall, I'm going to get back up by saying, please forgive me. Jesus, please forgive me. You are you. Go ahead.
Incorrecting something. Mm-hmm. Like Judith said, you know, and she said she talking about them before you did. Well, you have to tell your story. Mm-hmm. You have to tell the walk that you have walked to get where you are and try to explain to them. That's how come I can kind of like see the road you going down. That's not a good road. Because let me tell you about my walk. Let me tell you the road that I went down like yours, similar to yours, the one you had to be like yours, but it was a bad road. So that's what we had to do. We had to kind of like, you know, tell our story to get a person to understand where they are going is not the correct place.
Been there and done that.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, there's people I came across too that they think they just did so much bad in their life, and so They don't think God's going to accept them. But before we judge them, we need to get to talk to them and let them know, you know, I wasn't perfect, but God still accepted me.
Exactly.
And you have that same opportunity.
Exactly.
I think it boils down to teach somebody in the correct way and don't judge.
Exactly.
Let them know that we're not perfect now.
That's
exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
But we've learned that there is a better way out there, you know, and a better way to live your life. And but people need to know that we weren't born where we are right now. We struggle to get to where we're at.
We're struggling every day.
Yeah.
Every.
We have to make sure we don't come off like perfect and we all this and that. Because some Christians,
a lot of people think we are.
Honey, a lot of people that I wouldn't know I'm not, but because they see my struggles. But you see, the teacher person, like you said, we're not perfect.
No.
We're not going to be perfect. There's only one perfect. You know, he's in heaven waiting for us.
We're going to learn from the day we die.
And he knows that we are not perfect. So that's.
But there's a lot of Christians out there who think they're perfect.
That's what I know. That's what I'm saying. And they come off.
And they come off.
All people. Like they are perfect. And that's why people do not want to listen to them. Mm-hmm. Because that person is seeing all the wrong that you're doing, but yet you acting like you all this and you're all that. Tracy and I got caught up in something like that when we went to visit a brother here. And we got caught up in this person saying basically the same thing, that he don't care for all this crazy stuff he was talking about. Sam crazy to me. But I understood where he was coming from. That Christians come off as one thing, but they show something else. So I got that. And I got that. It made me feel kind of bad because what he was saying was true. And it made me feel bad because I was able to see a brother in. This man bringing all this stuff. What they don't believe
they are. Laying it all on you.
On me and her. And it was, and it, you know, and I had to defend God's word. We had to try to, you know, defend God's word because he wasn't there. He wasn't there because he felt some other type of way because of what he see Christian as and how Christian, some Christians bring them things. But they are not showing what they bring, you know what I'm saying? So we have to be careful
with
what
Christ.
We do and what we say and how we act.
And when we bring all of these things together, right, mm-hmm. we'll understand it better by and by. We gotta bring it, you know, they call it assisting verses. You know, we have to bring them together, assisting verses. You know, like this verse assists this mm-hmm. verse, what it's saying. Mm-hmm. That verse assists this verse. We have to study. Because when we study, Jesus says, just we bring it all together now, mm-hmm. right? Jesus said that if you're to follow me, these are the things that you're going to go through. Are you with me? You're going to go to a town, and they're not going to want you there. Are you with me? You're going to say some things, and they're not going to want you to say it. But Jesus has said, I told you to go there, so go. I told you to say it, so say it. Because some people ain't going to accept it. Believe that. Some people going to make you think that you all of that, you know, that you ain't never done no sin, you know, whatever, right? They gonna make you feel like that. They gonna turn the table. It's like you tell them about a sin and what they're doing. They gonna turn the table and make it look like, hey, you ain't perfect either, you know. And they gonna make you think like, you know, you must have said something out the way. It's just like when preachers preach, right? Like I told you before, preachers preach. And when they preach, they ought to preach the truth. Because if they're not preaching the truth, they're not doing God's will. Okay, turn to Luke, the 12th chapter. Let me see something. Luke, the 12th chapter. Because we have to always remember they're assisting. It's not one scripture, there are assisting scriptures that we could go to that would help us, you know, that would help us. These assisting scriptures, you know, they would always assist us, because it's like when you teach, you always gonna have to have backup. But, you know, you have to prove what you said. You know, that's why it's good to study God's word. Study His word. Study and pray, and mean it. You know, and mean it. You know, just like when we tell our wives, "I love you." If we can't say it, something wrong, right? Because, you know, we ain't got to so long in here, we can't even say it no more. Do you love it? I love you. I love you. You know, are you with me? Can't even say it. I love you. Are you with me? You know, but we get to that point. But anyway, chapter 12 of Luke. It says, are you there? Chapter 12, verse 1. I'm sorry. So, in the meantime, when there were gathered together numerous people, as so much as they trotted upon one another, he began to say to the disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which is have been spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the rooftop. In other words, I could act like I'm a Christian, but God is going to what? Reveal it. You could act like you're a Christian, but He's going to reveal it. Are you with me? He's going to reveal it. That goes both ways. He's going to show us who's a hypocrite, right? And when He shows us who is a hypocrite, we have to, it's on us now. Whether we're going to stay or we're going to go. Whether we're going to, you know, help this person or we're going to not help them. Right? But He's going to show us who's a hypocrite. But then again, He's going to show us as being a hypocrite also. If I'm standing up here being a hypocrite, guess what? I'm going to be revealed sooner or later. You see? I am going to be revealed. So when we teach the truth. When we preach the truth. Are you ready, friend? Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to add to what you were saying and going on with what Sister was talking about. These are our trials that we go through every day in our Christian walk. And it's what we betray, because we're going to be tested, we're going to be tried, because the devil is already at us 24/7. But if the devil can get away with anything, because that's who he is, we profess to be Christ. We profess to be followers of Christ. If we get provoked to act like someone that's not Christ, then we have failed. We have fallen. That not only makes us a bad, but as she was saying, that makes all Christians a bad. And this is what the devil tries to do. Because if you can make one person fall, like, and this is just an example, if a preacher in the church falls in public, does something despicable or something bad, that whole church is tainted because of what he did. He can repent and he asks forgiveness. But the church still got to wear that. Everybody, you go to that church, first thing they're going to think, they're not going to think about nothing that the church did that was good. Or they're going to think about what that preacher did. So,
all of them the same.
Yeah, everybody in the church is the same way as what he did. But this is what the devil does to try to tear us down. And we're not perfect. We don't have falls. We don't get caught in traps. But we have to strive to do that, fight against that, because for that purpose. For our Christian walk, we said and what we profess to be. We got to try our best to do it, you know, and don't let the devil provoke us. Because if you try to provoke Christ, you know you're going to do it to us.
Well, I was going to say that as Christians, we have to remember that as we go out in the world, we not only just represent God himself, but we represent the whole family of God, which is us Christians.
Exactly.
And like Wesley said, if we do wrong, then we do wrong against God and against the family, the whole thing. And I think our life needs to reflect who we belong to. I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect, but we need to try our best to show the reflection of Christ within us by how we treat others, how we speak to others, how we correct others. I don't even like to say judge, how we correct others, and do it in love like Christ did with us.
Yeah. And do it honestly. I remember, you know, to bring everything together. I remember when I first became a Christian, right? I was making a few dollars, right? And when the basket came around, I was throwing $5 in here. I think I'm doing something, right? And the preacher was preached about giving. You know, I don't need to hear that, right? What he would preach about giving. So the next week, I'm hearing the same thing, giving. The next week, giving, right? I said, well, you know, like, I went out of town once and went to another church. Giving. Wait a minute now, right? You're making me mad now. I'm going to quit. Are you with me? And what it was doing, when I learned better, it was telling me that you ain't giving right. You ain't going to never give right, but you can give better than you give. Are you with me? You can do better than that. Are you with me? So I threw $10 of it. I still hurt. Right? But hold up now. You know, these people, this all they want is money, you know? You know? And it got to me, right? And I started getting mad. I was bitter. I said, man, you know, this don't make no sense. Right? I'm going someplace that they don't teach giving. And everywhere I went, I heard giving. 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 Right? Until I learned better. And I started doing better. Someone said, when you know better, you what?
You do better.
And I started doing better. And the better I'd done, I didn't hear that no more. Are you interested? I didn't hear that no more. And I got to the point I liked to give. I hope I had more to give, right? And I was blessed to have more to give, right? But as long as is I was not doing what I'm supposed to do, I heard something that was continuously picking on me. These preachers, they ain't none of them right, you know? You know, they need some preachers in here, you know, to preach something. Preach love or something, you know, something like that. Don't be preaching about money all the time, right? But, like I said, when I learned better, I've done better. And when I've done better, I didn't hear it no more. I understood that, you see. So, that's very important. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. But, from each of you, right, I have learned that don't just, you know, and I'm not saying that nobody in here do that, right? But this is what I'm saying, right? There are assisting verses, okay? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? Rightly, this word, this Bible, rightly dividing it. Not how I feel, but how it is in here. Right? Study. And if you don't understand, you come to one who may understand. You go to you're blessed with elders. Go to them. Right? Go to a preacher. Go to a brother and ask him. You know, I remember I went to a preacher, and I was studying Revelation, right? And I went to one preacher, and he told me, I ain't calling no names now, but he told me, right? He says, kind of like this, not quoting that he said this, right? Mm-hmm. But he said that Revelation is a book that, you know, that you have to take your time with. You can't just rush through it because Revelation is that kind of book. Mm-hmm. He said, just remember, he said, don't worry about Revelation too much. This is what, you know, he said, just know what you should do to be saved. Mm-hmm. Right? But in my heart, I said, well, Revelation is still there. Just because you said that, Revelation didn't go nowhere. Mm-hmm. Right? And I still wanted to know. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? And I went to another one, and he was telling me a lot of things that in Revelation has happened already. Right? So you ain't got to worry about Revelation so much. Right? I said, okay. I'm still going to study it, right? And I tell you, Revelation is one book I love, right? Because I didn't let it get the best of me. I listen to God's word. I listen to different preachers. I hear it, you know, and I study. And I got more than I had. Revelation, you have to be careful. Because Revelation started out with the churches. Okay? Then we go into to the church. It started with the churches. Then we go into we see the Lamb, the seven seals. Right? And we see that no one could open those seals but the Lamb. The Lamb was the only one who could open those seals. So that comes to the church. The Lamb was the only one that could what? Save the church. Are you with me? Now, I'm not going into Revelation today, but Revelation is that book that you have to study. Don't run away from it because it's in the Bible. If God didn't want us to know about it, guess what? It wouldn't have been there. So, but like I said, I asked several preachers, right? And it's like they was telling me, you know, don't worry about Revelation. Just worry about what you need to do to be saved. Said, okay, right? But Revelation was still there. After they said that, Revelation didn't disappear. So, when we study this book, right, when we study to show ourselves approved unto God, because we're gonna be judged, we're gonna have to tell somebody the truth, right? And the next point is this, right? It says, verse 4, it says, oh, how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that's in thine eye, and behold, there's a beam in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, press, cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote in thy brother's eye. So when you read that, you have, it's an understanding behind that. Because if you read it like this, you say, well, I have to wait until I get right before I go and teach, right? Before I go and teach, I got to wait until I get right. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that if you're going to teach, if I'm going to tell Sister Judy something is in her eye, I have to, you know that something is in my eyes also. Are you with me? Not just tell Judy something in her eye, and then don't do nothing about the beam that's in my own eye. What good is it going to do me to help Judy to get to, Sister Judy to get to heaven, and I go down? Mm-hmm. Are you with me? You know, we have to understand it. We have to dig. Sometimes we, just like when we go to a smorgasbord, buffet, right? We see something that looks good, a cake, you know. It looks good, the cream on the top, and then you got this and that, right? Because the cream on the top, you know it looks good. The rest might not be. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You know. So, you might want to not take a big piece. I seen somebody done this, right? They went because something had looked good. It had looked good to me too, right? And they went and they grabbed a whole bunch of this thing, right? And they went and they tasted it when they got to the seats. Didn't like it and threw the whole thing out. You see, so when we study, we can't just look at it from the top. We gotta what? Get in it. We gotta, amen?
Amen.
Get in it.
Get in there. We talk about the being, the scriptures talk about the being. We all, to a certain extent, have a beam in our own
eye. Exactly.
We like to classify our sins higher and lower, mm-hmm. but we don't think we're doing is a high sin, it's mm-hmm. one of the lower sins that God. But the hypocrite will spot that in the heartbeat, mm-hmm. and he'll make your sin, but because it is, your sin is just as great as his sin. The only three things that we can do to approach our brother. Get involved in correcting. First of all, we got to have a genuine and godly love for him.
Mm-hmm.
The love like God had for us when he mm-hmm. gave his son. The second, we've got to have knowledge of what God wants. What are God's rules? What mm-hmm. is his common sense? Mm-hmm. Then we've got to have the wisdom to handle that in a way
mm-hmm.
that person feels like you really genuinely care for them and care for them, change right. their life. Then you'll get correction.
Mm-hmm.
Anything other than that, just get you in trouble.
Exactly. Exactly. Because we could call people this and that and the other, right? But they, like you said, they could see something about us, right? And we ain't doing nothing about it.
Right.
And you know, people ain't crazy like we, some of us think they are, right? They see some stuff about us too, right? And they will be saying, well, how come you ain't, you know, right? And even if we, you know, trying to go, they gonna still say these things, right? How come, you know, why don't you mind your business? Don't judge me, right? Mind your own business. But like Jerry said, it's a way of doing things, God's way. Now, Jesus went into many places, and they didn't like Paul. Paul went into many places, they didn't accept him. Right? Are you with me? They did not accept him whatsoever. Didn't want him around. You know, you're coming in here with this mess, you and Peter and you, the rest of you, you know, y'all better leave before we hurt you. Are you with me? But they was trying to give these people something that God gave them. You see? And a lot of people don't understand what you're giving, unless you give it, like Jerry said, through love, and by love. Are you with me? Because I could give Brother McLaughlin a gift, you know, for Christmas. Hey, brother, here, and throw it to you like that, right? You know? That just don't seem right, do it?
No.
It don't seem better if I said, brother, here, Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. I say Merry Christmas, but, you know, hey. Right? Other than just to throw it to you, you know, like that. It's a way of doing things. It's a godly way of saying things. It's a godly way of giving things. It's God's way. And we have to figure out what God's way is. The Bible teaches us that God is love. And we got to do it in a manner of love. I love to do what I do. It is like preaching. I love it. Are you with me? I love to do it. It ain't about me or whatever, you know. I love to give you what God gave me. God gave me something last night when I read in the scripture, and I want to what? Give it to you. Are you with me? I can't keep it to myself. It's too much for me to just hold. I want to give it to somebody. Right? That's me now. Alright? And when we study, there will be something in there. Every time we study, something would make us stronger and stronger and stronger. We would get stronger, and we would get more strength out of it. Right? Just like somebody called you a name or whatever. Back in the day, the first thing you do, you know. But nowadays, they call you a name, it's just like water on a duck's back. Right? And they might hit you for not noticing what they say. Are you with me? But, you know, when Jesus said that we if you're going to follow him, you're going to go through some trials and tribulations. He said, don't think it's going to be nice, you know, just because you, he said it's going to be kind of rough. So he says, but then again, he gave us the book. He says, study, which we ought to study. Pray without ceasing. Pray. He told us to go over the scriptures day and night, you know, day and night. You know, all the time. This is what we ought to be doing. Just have God on the job, you know, as we type in or whatever. God, Jesus. You know, have a Jesus sign. Just in case we forget, right? We got Jesus, the name Jesus, you know, to remind us where we need to be. But we have to study. Okay, verses 6. It says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. What is that actually saying?
If you try to give God's word to someone that don't want to hear it, they're not going to accept it. Mm-hmm. So it's best to leave them alone and give it to someone that will accept it.
Matthew 7 and 6. Okay.
It's better to leave them alone and give it to someone that will accept it, because you're not doing any good. And you can bring harm to yourself, because they're not going to take you. The message that you're bringing to them about God, they're not going to take that for good. They're going to just try to tear it up. They try to tear you up. And you said, mm-hmm. You know, they couldn't do harm to you because they're not about God. Mm-hmm. Don't want to know nothing about God. And the people like that definitely can let that be known to you. It's like, you can't go in a club and try to preach God, mm-hmm. because there's not time or place. You can get the people that's in the club, catch them at a different time or a different place, and maybe they'll listen to you. But that is not the place to go in there and try to talk about God.
Because, you know? Because there are some people, right, that don't want it.
Right.
And there's some people who need it.
Yes.
We waste our time too long on somebody who don't want it. And we have to justify that. We have to judge that. We have to know when it's time to go. You know, we need to know. You know, if we've been there too long, because somebody else might really need it, and we're not there to give it to them.
Well, again, I think we need to look at the example of Christ. I mean, he would preach, mm-hmm. let the people know what he had to say, but he didn't force them.
Exactly.
He did the job that he was called for to do, and then he moved on to the next. And I think he expects the same from us. Mm-hmm. We speak the truth according to the Bible. If people want to accept it, that's up to them. Mm-hmm. And then if they accept it, then we help and assist them to get to where they need to be. But if they refuse it, don't stand there and keep preaching it. Move on.
Move on.
Go to the next person.
Move on. They don't accept you, shake the dust off and go ahead. You won't be responsible for that. Mm-hmm. You know? Ezekiel says, Son of man, I gave thee a. I made thee a watcher to the house of Israel, therefore go and warn my brother. If they hear you and receive your word, right, you've done your job. But if you don't warn them, then they die. The blood is required on you. But if you warn them and they don't, it's on them. All right. I hope something was said that made everyone in this class better for coming.